You're listening to Island Tribe Radio with Peggy Rubenzelis and Woody Pollack, where we talk programs, parenting, and good, clean family fun. Thanks for joining us on Island Tribe Radio this week, where our guest is Camille Reeves.
Camille Reeves is the owner and instructor at Riverbed Studio. She teaches piano, guitar, ukulele, and voice. She is a singer, songwriter, and grew up on Vashon. Welcome, Camille.
Welcome. Thanks. Yeah.
So we are really excited to have you here to talk about teaching music to kids. And so I guess I'll start off. Can you tell us a little bit about what ages or what you teach?
Yeah, definitely. I actually teach all ages. Well, when I say all ages, I start at the very youngest. I start at 5 and a half. Because when people want to start earlier than that, I'm sure there are kids who can start earlier, but often it can be really frustrating for the younger students because of, you know, lacking motor skills, lacking focus, and then having to practice every day. So I usually teach, you know, starting around six through adults. So I have a wide range of ages that I teach, and I really try to get to know my student and then find out what excites them, what kind of music excites them, even things that are non-music related, because all of that is going to play into how I teach. And I think that understanding interests and also engaging kids with why music is important, why music is important to them, to their families, to their communities, that's essential. Because if they don't have a why behind it, a lot of kids sort of start feeling like it's boring.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, I try to keep them engaged as possible by including aspects of play, including games, nice. Including songs that maybe they hear on their playlists or on the radio, because that really opens up the world of music for them. My main goal is not necessarily to produce incredible concert pianists or opera singers. My goal is to foster a love of music in whomever I'm working with.
Nice. Well, you know, when you're talking about sort of finding that point of interest that each student has and making it relevant, I think that's true for anything that you're teaching, whether it's music or an instrument or math or science. If you can find that little nugget that they're interested in and expand that, that's where the passion really lies.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of something that might be not music related that you would then use to help their musical interests?
Well, often what I'll do is when I can tell a student, let's say a student is really into soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I compare doing drills on the piano when you're practicing to doing drills at soccer practice, because really often it's hard to make that connection of why is this important. I just want to play songs. I want to play stuff that sounds cool.
Right, right.
It's like, well, you will, but you can't just go play in the World Cup if you haven't done the drills necessary over and over and over. So making those sort of relations, turning into more of a coach rather than someone who's a stuffy music instructor. Not that I am ever like that,
right.
I hope. But yeah, just kind of making those connections. And, you know, if someone's really into Harry Potter, well, you know, John Williams writes some pretty complicated stuff. Mm-hmm. But if they're really into Harry Potter, they're going to learn Hedwig's theme.
Right,
wow.
Right.
Because they love it. They know it by heart, mm-hmm. often.
And they can show it off to their friends. Even if they get a little snippet, they get a little, you know, a little soundbite of something. I think about the, you know, the things that I know on piano, and it's like 3 seconds long, but everybody recognizes it.
Bingo. Yeah. Exactly right.
We all have our song. Mine is My Favorite Things.
Oh, mm-hmm. There you go.
There you go. That's a great one.
So,
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about, you know, as we were talking about a little bit before we got started, the guitar piece and sort of the things that inspired me. I love playing guitar and I hated guitar lessons. Hated them. And I love my guitar teacher, but it was linking sort of the doing the drills that you were talking about and learning the scales and all those kinds of things at a time in my life when I was really fighting it. And what I really wanted to do was just be able to emulate some of the blues artists that I was hearing on the radio. So I'm curious, when it comes to keeping kids engaged, you've already mentioned sort of taking their interest nugget and applying it to music, but how do you do that when it comes to voice? You know, you're a voice instructor.
Yeah, and I've tried a lot of different things. It really comes down to is the student motivated? And often what I realize that with all of the instruments that I teach, I'm not necessarily teaching just music. Like, I'm teaching self-discipline. These are self-discipline lessons. And in the past, I have done sort of prizes or like some kind of incentives to practice. And what I found is that the kids who are really into it and dedicated didn't really care about the prizes, and the kids who aren't really into it, like, prizes aren't going to make them do it anymore.
Right, right.
So, you know, I really do try to, and I communicate this to the student as well, talk about self-discipline. Talk about, well, what is something else you do that's really hard, and how do you overcome those kinds of barriers? Because, you know, regardless of what instrument you are playing, you're going to make progress, then you're going to kind of plateau.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's getting to that next point where you push past that hump and you move to the next book, which is really exciting for my piano students. Or you learn a new skill. Say you master the pentatonic scale doing riffs with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's really exciting because suddenly you can do something you've never been able to do before.
Right. So you're leveling up within that particular discipline or the thing that you're interested in. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really kind of about coaching. It's about being like, you know, you can do it. Mm-hmm. What do you see that's difficult about this? Where are your problem spots? Where do you think you can improve? What do you think you're doing really well? I think engaging the student, engaging the metacognition of the student, I think, is a really important aspect. Because,
so, like, what goes on in their mind as they're practicing?
Exactly. So what's happening for you when you play this song?
Mm-hmm.
I had a song recently that a lot of my higher-level piano kids are at in the book, and they all hated the song. And I didn't even particularly like the song. But I said, you know, this has really important skills that we need to learn.
Right.
We need to learn how to sight read chords and make our chord changes really fast, right? So these kids really, really stuck with it. And most of the time it's like I'm talking to them about mastery. It's about mastering a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And so luckily they all pushed through, but it takes that, you know, understanding that there's going to be rainy days and there's going to be sunny days and that you have to get through all of it.
Right.
Yeah.
We can't, you know, as much as we can, we try to do songs that you're really, really into. But sometimes there's skills, there's drills, there's things we need to do that aren't fun.
Yeah.
And that's actually just life skills. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it totally did. And there's a lot of themes inside of what you're talking about that are common to sort of youth activities that are coached or are led. So, when we were talking, we talked with coaches and we've talked with teachers, and it's like, how do you help kids build the resilience to get past that plateau when there is some disappointment or there is some difficulty that arrives where it's uncomfortable. All of a sudden they go from a place of feeling like, oh, I'm getting it to, ooh, this is really hard. You know, how do we encourage both as parents and as teachers and as coaches, how do we encourage our kids to stick with it and move forward and persevere inside of those times where they're uncomfortable?
Yeah, totally. Well, one of the biggest, what am I trying to say? The biggest difficulties or challenges that I think parents and kids and instructors all face today is screen time.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a huge one. And honestly, like, I can tell the students who play a lot of video games.
Interesting. Hmm.
And I read a really great book that I actually recommend to pretty much everybody, whether they're a parent or not, called Parenting in the Age of Attention Snatchers.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
And it's a great, great book.
Do you know who it's by?
The author's last name is Palladino. I can't remember what her first name is, but it's really, really excellent. The author by no means is anti-technology, but she's really good at laying out the data so that we know how technology is affecting our kids' brains and also how it's affecting our own brains.
Yes. So, and how do you see it? Like, how do you see that play out when you say you know right away? What do you notice?
So the lack of focus is a huge one. And the kids who get a lot of screen time are much, much more apt to get discouraged more quickly. Things feel harder. They don't want to do it. They would way rather be doing something else. The discouragement is huge.
Yeah.
And so if someone talks about the video games that they played all weekend, and then they also just can't get through this purple book, which is the most basic book we use, to me, that says, well, maybe we're having a little bit too much screen time. And so, therefore, in terms of how it affects the brain, we have voluntary attention and we have involuntary attention. And things like, let's say, math, computer games. Well, that's really, really great because it teaches kids math. They're learning really, really fast.
Yeah.
But it depends so much on involuntary attention, which is just the thing that grabs your attention most from your environment, versus voluntary attention, which actually starts in the prefrontal cortex and moves down, takes a lot more effort. Voluntary attention takes a lot of effort to stay focused and to understand why this is important, aside from the immediate bells and whistles of, I did it right, I moved to the next level, whatever it is. So, I think I really, really commend parents who have their kids do things like play sports and do things like music lessons, because it really exercises your voluntary attention. It's not always fun, but you're able to stay focused and not get discouraged and move beyond that. I think that's definitely one of the biggest challenges that I, you know, dialogue with my parents about.
Yeah, that is beautifully stated. Yeah. In the case of my daughter, who happened to take piano lessons with you when she was younger, and just for full disclosure, I took piano lessons from Camille as well. She's a great teacher. But, you know, in the case of my daughter, we kind of mutually decided that, or I don't know, all together, I guess, decided that she wasn't going to continue with piano. And part of that, if I recall, was that you felt like she wouldn't enjoy music if she was pushed to do that. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Definitely. That is the other biggest thing that I dialogue with parents about. Because every kid is different. And let's face it, you want to expose your kid to as many things as possible so they can find the thing that they love. They're not necessarily going to love everything, single thing they're exposed to. Some kids really, really, really like music, and it's not other kids' jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really about, is this a thing that we need to push through and gain the self-discipline and get those skills? Or is this really not something that they're super interested in?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you push a kid to do something they don't want to do and it becomes a power struggle,
yeah,
it will negatively affect your home life.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Also, and also their relationship with music for potentially the rest of their lives. That's why I don't start kids as young as I used to in terms of lessons, because I say make it a toy for as long as possible. Make it a play thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't start formal lessons until your kid really, really wants formal lessons. Or you can tell that they're ready because they're playing the piano a lot. And you could say, hey, don't you think you might want to learn a couple songs?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really case by case.
Yeah.
And because I know my students really well, I can tell the kids who will push through and the kids who won't.
Right.
But I'm not, you know, I can't tell a parent what to do. I do make recommendations.
Yeah.
And I also dialogue with the student. You know, often if there is a case where they're forced to take ukulele lessons, even though they don't really want to, I tell them, like, so, you know, what is your interest? You know, like, what, you know, kind of, what is your, what can you get out of these lessons, even though ukulele is not your thing?
Right.
I had a student who just recently quit lessons, but he had been taking lessons for 3 years. And it was clear that, you know, even though he has some musical inclination and skills, aptitude, I should say, it's not really something that excites him.
Yeah.
And it was hard to find songs that he was interested in. He didn't really know what he... But when you talked about soccer...
Yeah.
Oh, man. He was just really, really excited. And so, you know, his parents wanted to stick him out. He did such a great job for 3 years. I mean, he gained great self-discipline. We had a lot of coaching going on. We developed a really important rapport. And I think that if he decides music isn't his thing, that's okay. And
right.
I think
right.
that kids and adults, but adults are, you know, make a little bit more judgment for themselves. But my younger students, they need to know that even if this isn't their thing, they can get something out of it. Mm-hmm. And pushing through is really important.
Yeah.
But also really being honest with yourself. I think, you know, like in the case with Mira, it's like she just needed to be able to be honest with herself and say this wasn't really her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give your kids, if you empower your kids in that way and respect their personal sovereignty, often they'll return to it.
Yeah. And I like the way that you, with her, that you left it open, like she could come back and like she does love music, but just in a more free flowing way right now. So I thought that was really cool. But one question I have about what you're talking about is that I know a lot of people, myself included, who look back and wish that they had continued their piano lessons because and they hated practice, but now they wish they played.
Yes, and that those are often the parents that force their kids
right
to play
exactly.
music.
Exactly. I see that a lot. So I have three nephews and all three of them are like, go practice piano. And they're like, oh, you can just see the look on their face. Like, I would rather do anything other than practice piano. Okay, I'll do it for, you have to practice your piano for 15 minutes. Okay, I'll do it for 5 minutes now. And then I'll do it for 5 minutes later. And it's like, I just see the look on their faces. I'm like, let's do something else. Do guitar, drum, something. But they're fighting piano.
Well, and I do, when I see that, I often will recommend an instrument change. Mm-hmm. Because, again, my goal is to make people love music and access that love of music and empower that love of music. I don't care what instrument we play.
Right,
you know,
right.
Just recently I started a couple drum students because they were interested in the drums. And I was like, I drummed in high school. I'll show you what I know. Just because it's important to get a basis. It's important to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Chronic instrument jumping doesn't solve the problem often.
No.
And that's the other thing that I explain. I'm like, it doesn't matter what instrument you're on. You're always going to have those hitting the humps and pushing through and hitting the humps and pushing through. And it's really about finding the instrument that you're motivated to continue to practice.
So this is kind of going backwards to when you were in high school. But did you have a person or something that was inspirational to you that led you to music yourself?
Well, I had a very good sort of musical education because my parents had a giant record collection and I learned very young how to play a record. That was very influential. And my dad played and sang, you know, just guitar in the house. My mom sang harmony. Neither of them were performers. They just both really loved music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having that in the home was hugely influential because music was just a thing that you did. It was
right.
a thing that was there, was present.
Part of life.
Was part of life, exactly.
Yeah.
And another really special thing that happened, when I was in first grade, I went to Burton Elementary, which is now no longer.
Right,
where
right.
Where the Burton Recreation, the skate park, I should say, is.
Yep.
So at Burton Elementary, We had an assembly, and this group called the Persuasions came and visited and performed for us. So it was, I think, five black vocalists doing an a cappella group.
Nice.
And they did all these old soul tunes. I listened to tons of soul when I was a kid. I listened to the oldies station. And they did all these soul tunes. And so I was completely captivated. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And so that, I mean, definitely affected my trajectory for sure. And I know that they, I mean, they're a pretty big deal. I mean, they're still performing. It's not necessarily the same members.
Right.
But I guess that they came for several years, because several consecutive years, to the Vashon schools. And I just know that that had a huge influence, not just on me, but on my peers and those that came before and those that came after.
Nice.
Cool. So
nice,
we're like sort of nearing the end of our interview, but I just was wondering if you could sing a line, maybe something that you would sing with a voice student, just so we can hear your beautiful voice.
Yeah, so let's see. So one thing that I like to do is this song called, it's called The Day, and it's a traditional Appalachian tune. And I use it as a vocal exercise to practice the pentatonic scale. So I'm not warmed up at all. So
wait, we'll which is the pentatonic scale is see through?
If you play all the black notes.
Okay.
Starting on C sharp, that's the pentatonic scale.
Got it.
Okay.
The day is past and gone. The evening shades appear. Oh, may we all remember well the night of death draws near.
Yay.
Wow.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm Tiny Desk concert person or something. That was beautiful.
It's got a very kind of Bill Monroe-y kind of feel to it. Nice.
I know. I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have a quick tip for parents? In a way, I think that maybe a good tip was just the book.
It was Parenting at the Edge of Attention by Lucy Jo Palatino, PhD.
And I think the other, aside from reading the book and really moderating screen time, I think the biggest thing is have music in the house. Expose your kids to music, because very often kids will come to me and I say, what kind of music do you like to listen to? And they say, I don't know. And I say, do you listen to music? And they say, not really. So my big thing is, before you sign your kids up for music lessons, before you start shelling out monthly tuition, see what they're interested in. You know, play them some reggae, you know, play them some classical, play them some soul, play them some pop. See what they're interested in, what captivates them. Have music be a part of the daily family life, because otherwise it's hard to make that connection. It's like studying math without knowing why this is important to you. As soon as you know that you can take measurements, well, geometry means a lot more to you. Mm-hmm. When it helps you manipulate your environment, or when it helps you, it empowers you in some way.
Right.
So getting kids excited about music and different kinds of music and musical exposure, that's the biggest thing.
That's nice. A great tip. And can you just leave our audience, our listeners, with how to contact you and also something you love about Vashon?
Yes. So you can contact me through email is actually usually the best. I do all my booking through email. My email is riverbedstudio@gmail.com. And the thing that I love about Vashon is the community and the ability to have more of a relationship than just, you know, meeting once a week for lessons. I'll see my students at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know, they can tell me, oh, I'm really excited about this song. I've been practicing. You know, having that multidimensional relationship with pretty much everybody in the community. It's like you always have that continuous kaleidoscope of interactions. I think that's the most beautiful thing about Vashon.
Nice. All right. Thank you, Camille.
Thank you so much for coming in today. And we look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Great. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining Peggy and Woody on Island Tribe. For more great parenting tips and information, go to voiceofvashon.org under shows and hosts and look for Island Tribe.